Bloke ring you.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
We think we're on again, Don, and this is part two of You Cannot Be Serious, and you might have heard the door bang severely earlier on when I was just speaking about something, and it's a man has joined us who's played, I think, in two premierships for the club he played for, Richmond. He was a king of football broadcasting radio for 20 years. He's a fisherman. We've had him on the podcast before, and it was very popular. We'd had him on before because people thought he was stone raving mad, and they thought it was
years.
Years. We'll find that out in a second. So, welcome to the podcast, Rex Hunt.
Thank you, John Newman. Hello, hi. Donald Scott.
Now, can I ask you a serious?
Why did I say yes to this?
Yeah, listen. I ask him a serious question? Now, we're going to turn back because you never talk about your football seriously. Will you shut up? I was watching YouTube the other week and I like old footage. And you were playing for Richmond against St Kilda at Moorabbin. And in this particular game...
Get on with it, Don.
Shut up! You did particularly well at centre-half forward. The next week or two, you're down at Geelong. They transferred you, swapped you from Gareth Andrews. I have never known, and maybe you can explain to me, I didn't understand at the time, why did Richmond swap you for Gareth Andrews? Why would they have done it when your form was like it was against St Kilda this particular day, and 2 weeks later they're giving you the arse? Now, this is a sensible question. Answer it.
Because the deal was done 3 weeks earlier.
Prior to the St Kilda game.
I'm sorry to be talking while you're interrupting.
Yeah, that's 3 weeks earlier. That's prior to...
I did the deal 3 weeks earlier with Richmond because Royce Hart had a knee injury. And they wanted to get Royce Hart right because I was a fill-in player. In 1973, when I was a premiership player, I played in the back pocket, centre-half back, in the ruck, in full forward and on the bench. So, I did a deal, and after the St Kilda game, I had to play one more game, and then I swapped for Gareth. They didn't transfer me. The situation...
But why did you do the deal in the first place?
Because I wanted to go straight away, because I had to get to Geelong to do a course on accounting, because I needed to be... have a qualification as a company fraud squad detective, and you have to get your account.
Oh, so you gave away Richmond for your job. That wasn't a football decision.
But Gareth Andrews, who was playing with Sam, he was a very, very good player, but he didn't have a Fossils kicking academy because he used to kick like a castrated crab. Have you ever seen a castrated crab?
Yeah, I know he took Doug Wade's place.
But you know what he could do, Sam?
Mark.
He could get the ball.
Yeah.
And that's a very, very important thing. So Gareth was a real estate agent with a mob in Bridge Road, Richmond.
Later on he was.
Oh, for God's sake. And he wanted to continue. So we just swapped. It was a complete swap. What was the highest profile swap just before then, Don? In 1971.
Ian Stewart.
And?
Bill Barrett.
Thank you very much.
If you've just tuned in, this is not a Mensa convention. This is Don and Rex having a chat about...
An in-depth conversation, an intellectual conversation.
And we're waiting for the doctor to ring in from Sydney. So when he does, keep... I wanted to ask, have you cleared that up?
That's the first time I've asked him something sensible, and I just want to know about his football career.
I want to know how you're travelling, Rex. You've had health problems, haven't you?
Have I?
Well, we discussed last week, hang on a minute, last week we said you were going to come on
and you'd let us down.
Yeah, I let you down because at the time I was supposed to be on, I was preparing to get a general anaesthetic, you dickhead.
Well, you could have told us that before you accepted the invitation.
And I tell you now, none of your business and none of your business, Sam,
well, it is
looking up my ought.
No,
have you had people looking up your ought?
Boys, the cadence bars are going berserk. If you're going to shout at him, shout softly.
Okay, I'll get back.
Do that.
Would you allow any person to look up your ought? Discussing my ought.
It was we did say that throwaway line.
A throwaway line.
That someone was looking up Rex's ought, and then someone said, "Is anyone?"
Why would they want to look up his bum?
Because he was having a colonoscopy, you idiot.
Don't you put the finger up? Isn't the finger go up there?
Well, oh, no, that's what you do after hours is your business, Don.
Prostate, isn't it?
Oh, Don.
Digital examination.
They take a biopsy out of your coit.
What?
Don't they?
No, they put the. That's a digital examination.
Oh, that's a second opinion.
Haven't you had that
they
done?
Put two fingers up for a second opinion.
No.
Look, the last major surgery I had was when I was born, and the bloke circumcised me, the professor, and he slipped and got the sack.
So I thought the scar was still around the top of your head.
Did you get that, Sam? No, I know.
He slipped and got the sack.
Yeah, we got it, Rex. We just let go through to the keeper.
I want to say something to you, Don, and this is serious.
Ben Fordham's ringing in 2 minutes, so go ahead.
Someone rang Don and said, "I need Sam Newman's phone number." He said, "Yes, I've got it, but what is it for?" "Oh, I've got to ring John Northey to see if he's got a Guernsey of 40 years ago when he played for West Sydney." And some bloke by the...
Just a minute. Doc? Oh, hang on. Jesus. You there? No, I can't hear you.
I should have left 3RW 20 years ago. This is
Doc.
Great production.
Can you hear him?
No, I can't hear a thing.
Doc.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
Is that you? Shut up, Rex. Shut up. Rex. Doc, is that you?
G'day, boys.
Can you hear us?
1 Adam 12,
yeah,
see the man.
Yeah, loud and clear.
Thank you. Now, we've got Rex Hunt, he's filling in for Ivan, who's gone back to... What are you doing, Don? I can't hear him. Well, you got to put the wrong headphones on. You got the wrong headphones on. Doc, thank you very much. Gee, we're just... Ivan's not here. He's gone back to Perth, and Rex has just come in. I don't know if you've ever met Rex, but this is Rex.
Oh, look, I've been lucky enough to interview Rex on radio before, but I'm in the presence of greatness. Rex, Mr. Hunt, Sir Hunt.
Mr. Hunt's
good
my
morning.
Father, Doctor, and he got badly burnt in 1975. You know why?
Well, What happened in 75?
Well, he got badly burned because they don't stuff around at the crematorium.
Yeah, sorry, Doc.
Listen, is Rex Hunt, is this going to be a regular thing? I hope so.
No, well, Ivan has taken leave of absence to go back to Perth to clear out his belongings because he's moving back to Melbourne proper. And we just thought we'd get Rex into. He's had some health problems and we wanted to see how he's going and see if we can get any sense out of him.
That's bullshit, Sam. You don't
We
care.
Did. We've already found the doctor looked up
hang
your
on,
ord.
Oh, hang on, the doctor. So, Doc...
Doctor, why would you look up someone's ord?
Well, look, can I just say, I did hear at one stage, and I don't want to go bringing up the past, but I did hear at one stage that there was a bit of a battle going on between Don and Rex. Didn't Rex turn up and go inside Don's house? Wasn't there a
Went through my underwear drawer.
Don.
Took photographs.
That's incorrect.
You drove up on the lawn and then went across the Agapanthers.
That's incorrect.
Dropped the vacuum cleaner at my back door. Your Honour,
that is incorrect.
It's no good ringing the doctor from Sydney if you just talk and don't. He listens to it. We want to hear what the doctor says, Don, please.
You do.
Now, I'm guessing that you boys in part one of the podcast have already spoken at length about Shane Keith Warne.
We spoke briefly about him, and just my suggestion was, Doc, and I want your opinion, but my suggestion was that we try and get a world record crowd of 93,000 for a cricket event at the MCG to see him off and name the stand, the new Southern Stand, after him at the same time.
I know that they're going to call it the SK Warne Stand, and I know that that's kind of part of cricket tradition that you go with the initials, but I'd love to be at the MCG and just look up and see Shane Warne Stand. I mean, he's Shane. He's not SK. I know that that's part of what happens with cricket, but
very good
either
point.
Way, it's going to be a great send-off, and it's going to be fantastic. And Sam, I was so impressed with the way that you communicated your love and affection for Shane Warne, and there was something that really stood out for me when you said, you can tell someone's character when they shake your hand. He would pierce you with his eyes, and he'd look into the back of your skull just to make sure you were with him. You guys had a great relationship, and I'm sure that the people listening to the podcast would love to hear a little bit more about your relationship with him and some of the times you shared together. And equally, same goes for Rex and Don as well. I mean, what a man.
Well, I appreciate that, Doc, and I couldn't agree with you more about it. Sounds very formal, SK Warne Stand. Shane Warne Stand would be absolutely hit it right on the button, that would.
The send-off is going to be a big one. I mean, I know that Elton John is busy touring in America at the moment, but Chris Martin, the lead singer of Coldplay, and Ed Sheeran, they're both going through their diaries at the moment to work out whether they can get here. But I've got a feeling that that is going to be the day of real sadness around Shane Warne's death, because I remember when Steve Irwin passed away, and I know that they both kind of originated from a very similar area, but when Steve Irwin passed away, because the shock was so strong, I think it took until his send-off at Australia Zoo until the real sadness kicked in for a lot of Australians. And I've got a feeling that the tears are going to be flowing right around Australia on the day that we farewell Warnie at the MCG, because even though a lot of Aussies won't be able to get there, everyone will be watching. And I think when someone's taken away by surprise, because he was so young, 52, and we hear all of those tributes, and there'll be the montages and the music because he loved his music, it's going to be a really emotional day, I think, for a lot of people. And for younger people as well, it's going to be a confronting day for them emotionally.
Well, you might think this a little extravagant, Doc, but I said earlier that I don't remember an outpouring of grief universally, certainly in Australia, but all the cricketing nations around the world, I don't remember as an outpouring of grief. This almost matches Lady Di when she passed on. I mean, there has been so much said about this man, and so much suggested that what we should do, and I've never seen anything like it. Any person who's passed on in Australia, I've never seen anything like it anyhow.
No, I think you'd be right, and I'm sure Don and Rex will have a view. I would say in my lifetime, and I'm 46, I'd say Shane Warne, Steve Irwin, and Princess Diana. I don't know about you, Rex. Are there others that stand out in your lifetime?
No, I just hope in all this that Channel 9 get involved, and I mean the people who produced the footy show when it was absolutely compulsory viewing to finish your meal or sweets in time to get home for the footy show and to get street talk, and before people like Michael F. Sheehan wins like hell because he thought Sam was targeting disadvantaged people who just wanted to get... It's just called entertainment. So I hope that somebody with an entertainment background that knows Shane Warne, and there's none better than Sam Newman, and they give him a rouse, and they have a hitting competition, a bowling competition. You have old players going around,
Doc,
in a motor... I'll shut up,
Doc,
sorry.
Doc, you might have another...
This is a good idea. I think Rex is onto something.
Doctor,
here.
That's
doctor,
the way you're going to get 93,000.
Doctor, you
up.
Might have another client on your books here.
No, well, I think Rex is onto something. I like the idea of it being an interactive day as opposed to everyone sitting on their backsides and just soaking up the emotion of it. Obviously, that'll be the key component of the day, but how fantastic would it be, a bit like kick to kick after a game of AFL, how wonderful would it be, and this is something that they should consider, those organising the farewell for Shane Warne, to take up Rex's idea and then allow kids out into the middle to start bowling some leg spin and to start hitting a few balls around. I think Warnie would absolutely love that. Don, what do you reckon?
Let's see the new Lily and the new Cummings. Good one, Doctor. What's his name again?
Doctor. That's all you're going to need to know.
Would you give me a second opinion on my colon?
No, I'll tell you what I will do for you though, Rex. Yeah. If this is an idea you want to push, I'd gladly get you on radio.
I'm not pushing anything. I'm just saying this needs to be a celebration and, Doc, more of an inspiration. Where is the next SK Warn? Who's the next Tendulkar? That sort of thing. And I offered Don to have a look at his problem in his colon and he said, what are you? I said, no qualifications, Don, but I'll have a look at it for you.
And, Don, are you concerned that now because Warnie's no longer with us and Sam's going to have more time on his hands, are you concerned that that means he'll be spending more time with you, Don?
No.
Oh, are you not with us today?
Now, Don, engage with the doctor.
Has he curled up into a ball? Because Rex is...
Well, no, what's happened is, Doc, he's come from Baxter up to Port Melbourne and he's suffering jet lag.
Well, look, can I share with you three gentlemen a story and get your opinions on it? There's an organisation, the University of Melbourne is in a bit of trouble today because one of Australia's largest donors to medical research has cut all ties with the Uni of Melbourne. So I'll tell you the background. The reason is, and it's all to do with cancel culture, so there's a mob called Snow Medical Research, and they have been very generous, giving millions of dollars over the years for research purposes to the Uni of Melbourne. But last week, and I'll quote here from Snow Medical Research, they say, unfortunately last week, the University of Melbourne awarded their most prestigious award, an honorary doctorate, to six white men. This is unacceptable. So because they're all men and because they're all white, they've now been told, okay, we're going to axe the relationship between the two of them, even though the six men who received the honorary doctorates are all at the top of their field. And guess what? I've now gone to Snow Medical Research and I've had a look at their own website to go, okay, well, let me have a look at the makeup of their board. They've got a fellowship board and it's got more men on it than women. So the mob who's attempting to expose and embarrass the University of Melbourne, they've in fact themselves got issues in their own backyard because they've got more men as part of their advisory fellowship than women. But honestly, who cares? When I mentioned this on radio today, I had a bloke call in called Colin who said, I'm old, I'm white, I'm male. Seriously, is this what we've got to where people are going to go judging things just based on the colour of your skin? And have a listen to the feedback from some of my female listeners. Sue said, you can't even out the awards just to appease our woke society. Claire said, I'd be telling Snow Medical Research to bugger off. Sandra says, the days of merit are over. Diane said, I've worked my whole life. I've earned every position and every pay rise. I've never wanted a leg up. This stuff is madness. So, Rex, is this the kind of thing that we've just got to accept in life now, that people are going to go making decisions based on the colour of one's skin?
Well, yeah, mate, but I'm not.
Somebody but it's said also me, it's Jesus, also gender just, as well.
Oh, sorry.
It's also gender as well, Doc.
Yeah, but who cares?
So that's what Joe Biden has done in the States, Doc. He's said he's going to appoint a woman of colour to the High Court, or whatever that's called there, the highest court. And he said, qualifications notwithstanding, the first prerequisite will be that she's a woman of colour, that the person's a woman of colour, and the second prerequisite is she's got to be a female. So don't worry about meritocracy. It's just the quota system which is going to, and she could be a very worthy person to hold down the position, but that's not what it was based on. It was based on skin colour and gender.
Yeah, well, this thing at the University of Melbourne, it all blew up because of one photo that had six blokes in it. But when you do a bit of further digging, you find out there were women who were receiving awards on that day and also an Indigenous bloke, but they couldn't attend the ceremony, so therefore they weren't in the photo. And then the mob who are whinging about the whole thing have said, did anyone think of deferring the ceremony? And I'm reading from a quote here from the Snow Medical Research boss, Tom Snow. He says, I'm of the view that if the white men couldn't attend the ceremony, then they would have deferred it. So in other words, he's cancelled the relationship with the University of Melbourne all because of a photo. I mean, seriously, is this what we've come to?
Well, this mightn't be quite along the same lines, but I noticed that the you've ever seen the ad for the meerkats who... They're Russian meerkats. They're called Alex and Sergei. And they have taken those ads off because they're Russian and Russia's invaded Ukraine.
And guess what, Sam? Guess what? The company that that those ads are for, they're not a Russian company, right? They're a UK-owned company. It's called Compare the Market. And the tagline is Compare the Meerkat, Compare the Market. It's quite a good ad campaign. They just use Russian voiceovers. So they've cancelled those ads on TV at the moment because they use Russian accents. So
it is extraordinary,
mate. It's just crazy.
And unless people like you and a few others push back on this nonsense, it's like we were like dogs going into supermarkets and going into restaurants. Once someone takes a dog into either of those places, no one says, "Oh, you can't bring the dog in." Then it's just open slather. Oh, everyone does it.
I've picked up on this. Don, have you picked up in the discussions on the podcast that Sam Newman is anti-dogs? Have you picked up on this?
No, I haven't. You've just brought it to my attention, but I'll be aware of it from now on.
He's spoken about it a number of times.
Has he really?
Dogs taking a piddle on the side of the street and dogs being at cafes. Oh. Is this a problem, Rex? I've got no issues with dogs at cafes.
Really? Well, when they have
no issue. What's the problem?
When they lift their leg on the chair... of the leg of the chair you're sitting on, or evacuate their bowels a metre away from where you're having a croissant and someone picks it up in a little plastic bag and puts it in the rubbish bin next to where you're eating, and the flies and the smell just consume. Don't have a problem with that, Doc?
No. Look, if they were pissing on me, there'd be a big problem. But apart from that, I'm a bit of an animal lover. But, you know...
I'm an animal lover. It's the people that own them are the problem.
Doc...
Are you gonna need a companion animal going forward? Should we get you a dog?
Get me an iguana or something. Now, Doc, I know you would have been listening last week, but I just did have to correct you about you said bees were insects or butterflies were animals. Well, everything's an animal, but a butterfly is actually an insect.
Oh, so everything's an animal.
Everything except a human.
Okay, well, so I was right.
No.
Is an animal.
Everything in the world is an animal that breathes, except...
And that's what I said.
No.
That's what I said.
But a butterfly is specifically in a category called an insect.
Oh, wow. Now, listen, do we get any Rex Hunt stories about Shane Warne? I mean, I've got such an appetite at the moment for Warney stories. Rex, can you share a yarn or two that we may not have heard about Shane Warne?
Just make one up, Rex.
What you'll do, Doc, is I'll just say six or seven words and you'll be interrupted by either Scott or Newman, but I'll just try.
Yeah, tell me.
Let me tell you that I had a reasonable career on radio, and my go was broadcasting live football to a lot of people who didn't have the opportunity to get there. It was my start.
I did do that for a joke. Go on.
No, you didn't. You were serious.
Go on.
It was my style. I would sink or swim by my style, which was not everyone's cup of tea.
Oh, it was mine.
I said, shut up, Don.
I left 3RW in 2010 under not good circumstances because of some misdemeanors that I did, and it was all around the world news, and I've tried to move on. I went to Triple M and it didn't suit me. I said to Ben and Mafia, I still now can't work. And I went to Craig Hutchison and it wound up. I went back to 3RW at night talking to the people after the football, Ben. And Stephen Beers, who used to help me when he was a young kid many, many years ago, he's in charge. He said, we'd love to allow you to call one more game for premiership points. And I said, okay. What I decided was a night game at under the roof at the Telstra Dome, and it was between St Kilda and Collingwood, two of my favourite teams to broadcast. So on the team was myself and a young boy called Shane McGuinness, who's going to be a star because now he can be himself. And Shane Healy, who was calling with me and in charge, kept him back because I think Shane might have thought he was a little bit of a threat. John Noel William Newman was number one choice as a special comments, and Robert Walls, who kicked six goals on me in the 1972 Grand Final, we've become extremely close. He replaced Sam when Sam went to Triple M for a lot of money. And at half time, I rang Shane Warne and said, "You're going to the St Kilda game?" And he said, "Yes." I said, would you mind coming down to have a word to us at half time in the 3RW
broadcast box?"
Did you fart?
Shut up, Don.
So what happened was, he said, "Sure, I'll be there." And I thought, will I follow? This was on the Wednesday. So I thought I'd follow it up. No, I didn't. As soon as the siren went, he was at the front door, and Sam interviewed him wonderfully well. Robert did, and we just let him talk. And he spoke mostly, Sam, about football and his love for football. So that, it's not a story. It's something that I'll take to my grave, and trying to get talking without being interrupted. When you say, am I concerned?
We haven't interrupted
you. A Sheila called me a bloke at the Camperdown Hotel a couple of nights ago and asked, he says, "Oh, I like you, bloke." I said, "Oh, I like you, Sheila." Well, the Sheila next door, she nearly swallowed her spare rib. And let me leave it at that, because I wouldn't have thought she got those lips from putting her lips around spare ribs. But yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Well, but you know what's interesting in the story you've just told, Rex, about
it's
Shane,
not a story.
It was a story.
It was a story. Okay.
It's a true story.
All right.
But what it is it highlights his manners and his punctuality, and that's why when he didn't turn up at dinner at 5 p.m. in Koh Samui, everyone knew something was wrong. And there'd be a lot of people who'd think, oh, well, Shane Warne drives around in fast cars and he hangs out with famous people.
No.
He kind of turns up when he wants to turn up, and he may not turn up at all, but that wasn't him. He had those old school manners, right, Sam?
He absolutely did, Doc. And
Sam, I'm going to interrupt you because you're just this last one, and then I'll shut up. In fact, I'll go. The thing about it is that you know how after half time, Sam, he stayed for 15 minutes into the third quarter to watch the game. And what did he do? He had the headphones on. You know why? Because when he was around the world, he listened to you and me on 3AW. So there, Sam, go forth and multiply. If you don't understand that, go and get stuffed.
I'm not sure why I've taken a verbal berating over just sitting here listening to that.
Else.
But I'm saying, Don, and yep.
Boys, I'll tell you something else I liked about Shane Warne. He wasn't afraid of letting journalists know when he wasn't happy with what they were saying or writing. But from my experience and from the experience of people I know, 80 or 90% of the time he would contact someone in the media to complain about something that they had said or written. It wasn't about something that they'd said or written about him. It was about something that they had broadcast or scripted about one of his mates. And that's the level of loyalty that he had. And look, I experienced this once because Shane kind of let me know once at the SCG that he wasn't fond of something that I had said on radio. And the way he let me know is by the way he shook my hand, because when we shook hands on that particular day, he held for a little bit longer and he just kind of glared into my eyes. And I was aware already that he wasn't happy about something I'd said about someone, and I don't need to go into it here. But he had a way of letting you know what he thought about something. It wasn't about him. The other people who were there with me at the time had no idea that he was sending me this message, but I was left in absolutely no doubt about the fact that he was letting me know that he wasn't happy about me over something that I'd said. And on other occasions, I shared times with him, and I wasn't a close friend of Shane's. I live in a different city, and we're not close mates by any stretch of the imagination. But on other occasions, I was around him and he was just so generous. I'd always bump into him when there were charity things on often, because he'd come to Sydney for charity events. He'd duck outside and have a quick dart before he'd do it and straight after he did it. But he was just so generous with his time, and I think everyone can learn a lesson from him and the way that he looked out for people and reached out to people. And when people were were going through tough times. He was on the blower, on the text to check in on them and make sure they were okay. I think there'll be a lot of people that have no idea about the true character of this bloke.
Can I change the subject, Doctor? I've just been to and this is without notice, this question.
Very well said, Doc. Thank you.
And this is without notice, this question, and I don't mind if you can't answer it, but I'm intrigued. I travelled to outback New South Wales to a funeral recently, stayed at a place called Cobar overnight, got up early and drove another couple of hours to a town called Bourke. Now, I went around Bourke and to fill in a little bit of time before the funeral that I was attending. Could you tell me why there are 8 to 10 police cars out the front of the police station at Bourke? I went down the main street of Bourke. Every shop had a shutter on. I could not find a coffee shop in the main street, yet at Cobar I could, which is 2 hours away. This is on the verge of the outback of Australia. I finally found a coffee shop down on the river, which was serving coffees. Why is Bourke different to other towns I went through in New South Wales?
Well, I can tell you Bourke's got some issues, Don, when it comes to crime, and also they've got a lot of issues to do with the youth in Bourke. I can give you an example. About 12 months ago, a bloke called in on my radio show and said an ambulance has just absolutely screamed down the main road of Bourke, and he thought to himself, oh, well, there's obviously an emergency going on, but then it screamed back the other way, and then the next thing, a police car was chasing the ambulance. That's because three youths had stolen the ambulance, and the police car was then in pursuit of the ambulance. It ended up crashing, and the blokes got out and they were arrested. So that's probably why Bourke has got a real issue to do with youth crime, and they've got other issues there as well. There's a lot of Indigenous youths in Bourke, and as we know, it's a fact that Indigenous youths are overrepresented in crime statistics and also in the jail population. And so that'd be why, because they've got
why aren't they addressing? Why aren't they addressing it? Because it's not a good look driving down. I thought I was on another planet or in another country driving down Main Street when the actual retailers have got shutters over their display windows. Why isn't this? I wasn't aware. You're now telling me. Obviously, people in New South Wales understand. Why isn't something done about it?
Well, that's why the police cars are there, because they are addressing it. When you've got crime happening, you have lots of police, and you turned up and there were 6 police cars. I mean,
there were eight to ten, more than six.
Well,
they are obviously addressing it, which is why there are so many police on the ground, Don.
Right, that's logic, Don, isn't it?
No, I didn't get the answer.
Well, you did. He said they're addressing it because there was 12. He said 12 police cars. Why don't you make it 20? Now, and Doc. Finally, if you wish. Shane was, they said that Shane now is there linking maybe some cause of his death to the fact he was on a liquid health kick diet, and they've done shows on current affairs, bulletins about the dangers of having liquid. I mean, seriously, we've just taken it to another level. And then someone said, well, we should ban ads on fast foods for McDonald's in Kentucky, and it's just gone to the next level. My question is, why do we have to ban people advertising very good companies in this world like McDonald's and Kentucky Fried, who are fantastic companies? Why do we have to put a restriction on them advertising their product? You can't save the people from themselves. If you don't want to eat fast food, don't go and eat it.
But also, Sam, no one knows the cause of the death of Shane Warne. We know that it was because of natural causes. But everyone weighing into it, when you got doctors out there who've never treated Shane Warne. They've never had a consultation with Shane Warne, but they're giving their 2 cents worth about what might have killed him. And let's face it, the bloke smoked 800 million cigarettes, right? So there's probably a chance that that would have been a bigger contributing factor compared to a juice diet. But as you quite rightly said, Sam, you came out straight away on 3AW and said before any knucklehead out there goes suggesting that drugs are involved, this bloke didn't use drugs and he was passionately against drugs. You've then got other people who are coming in saying, oh, it might have something to do with the vaccine. I mean, can we have a little bit of respect for the three children of Shane Warne who are grieving the death of their father and don't need to hear armchair experts speculating about what might have killed their dad? I mean, keep in mind, since the beginning of time, heart attacks have happened. Hearts sometimes just stop working. And when they stop working, the person who is carrying that heart dies. It's always happened. It will always happen. And I think we should show a bit of respect as opposed to speculating about fast food or juice diets or anything else. Sometimes, sadly, people just die.
I know it only too well, Doc. And finally, Don wants to just say this.
The last couple of mornings, I've watched a former colleague of yours, Carl Stefanovic, on his morning show, and there's a lot of angst, and he keeps repeating the question. We're unaware of the situation you're going through right along the east coast of Australia with regard to floods, but he's on to, and he never lets it's like a dog with a bone, that the government or the ADF or something has not acted quickly enough, or the support hasn't been coming to those people who are affected by floods. Is this a real problem? Because we're completely unaware in Victoria about what's going on up there.
Yeah, Carl's right on that one, Don, because what happened when we had floods in northern New South Wales, it was all the locals saving themselves. And, you know, even now, a week after those floods hit, there are some people in remote parts who haven't seen anyone who's got an official role with emergency services. It was tradies largely who were jumping in their tinnies and running around and saving people. And I think we've got to accept the fact that we live in a country now that has more extreme weather events than ever before. I know we've always had them, but their frequency seems to be greater now than ever. And what we've got an issue because we call in the Defence Force every time there's an issue. But their job is not to conduct flood rescues. Their job is to defend the country and sometimes go overseas to risk their lives. We've then got an SES, a State Emergency Service in New South Wales. We've got fireys and ambos and police. What we're going to need going forward is a designated rescue group that can mobilise quickly. And when we see that extreme weather events are coming, whether they be rainfall or cyclones or the risk of fire or anything else, they should be deployed to those areas in anticipation of that problem happening, so they're ready to roll and ready to help. At the moment, we've got too many chiefs and not enough Indians in New South Wales, so no one is entirely clear about who's doing what. And that's why you've just had a lot of people, ordinary people, who've done extraordinary things by jumping in tinnies and running across roofs and doing whatever they can to get to people. And the police and the fireys and the Defence Force have done a great job. But a lot of the time, they don't know what the others are doing. And in the Defence Force, you've got to follow orders. You can't just turn up in town and go, right, I'm going to go to Smith Street and start rescuing people. You wait for orders. So I think we've got a real communication problem at the moment when it comes to how we respond to these things. And we're going to have to sort it out because there's going to be more of them.
Doc, beyond the call of duty today, you've been fantastic. You've covered everything.
Well, it's been an honour. It's been an honour to talk to Rex Hunt, and I'm going to be taking up on my 2GB breakfast show tomorrow morning this idea, and I might credit Rex or I might claim it for myself.
Excuse me, sir. There's just no need to credit me with anything. I just think it's common sense, and all I wanted to say, and I know that I shouldn't be talking...
He's giving you a rap, Rex. Shut up.
Go on, Rex.
And you're receiving recognition, Rex. Be humble.
Well, I will give Rex the credit for it. I think at the end of the funeral service, we want all the kids to be able to go out in the middle of the MCG and to bowl balls and hit a few balls around. I think that's what Shane Warne would have loved. And I'm going to push that idea on my breakfast show tomorrow morning. And I'm also going to encourage some of my contacts at 3AW in Melbourne to do the same. I think it's the right thing. I think it's what Warney would have loved. Well done, Rex.
You're a star. Thank you very much, Doctor.
Love you, boy. You can't be serious.
You what? I thought you said something else.
Shut up, Don. Now, I believe we're still on, aren't we? We are. Rex, hello?
Hello.
I'm just to make sure we're on.
Are you all right, Rex?
Absolutely perfect.
I think the doc's gone. Oh, you're not there, Doc, are you? No. Rex, I took a heavy pounding from you just for sitting here, and suddenly you launched into me. Was there any reason for that? Or have you become disgruntled with me or Don?
I have not. I'm disgruntled with Don, which is not unusual. When I'm coming back from Lake Purram Beat yesterday afternoon, I actually caught the second biggest brown trout I have caught in my life. I was there at first light. The chironomids were working the wind lanes.
Chironomids.
Chironomids.
What are they?
The cousin of the bivalve mollusk.
A chironomid is a mosquito-like insect that spends 99% of its time under the water. When it's time to hatch out and become an insect and propagate, it comes to the surface of the water.
When it gets horny.
Right.
The brown trout at first light, because it's calm and there are wind lanes that bring the chironomid adults into line. They gangbang each other.
Who? The chironomids?
The chironomid.
No, the fishermen people fishing there. Of course the chironomid.
Who? The fishermen gangbang one.
The phone rang and it was some guy by the name of Tim. And he said, is that Rex Hunt? I said, well, it all depends. He said, is that Rex Hunt? And I just said, look, I'm not talking to you. Oh. So I rang the number back 5 minutes later. I couldn't hear him because of the hands-free. He said, oh, it's Tim so-and-so. Don Scott gave me your number. Oh, yes. He said, you're having some sort of function for a Richmond Premiership. So I said, am I? Yeah, and I wonder if you can contact John Northey to see if he's still got his West Sydney Guernsey that he wore in the 1972 West Sydney Premiership. I said, where did you get my number? He said, oh, Don Scott gave it. Thanks a lot, Don, for giving someone who I don't know from a bar of soap my number. It's very, very good of you. What if you'd have done it to Newman?
Yeah, no,
What if you'd have done it to Newman?
I did.
Well, you are...
He did.
He did.
You are... A very...
Do you think I put idiots on to you?
Yes.
No, I would not.
A very, very amateur and disrespectful... That is not on. And you know what I'm contemplating doing?
Picking up your bat and ball and going home?
Not at all. I'm changing my phone number.
Yeah, or
because of the amount of dickheads who've got putting, it being given by you.
Or putting you on the,
the what?
Band call, you know, would you...
Block,
what
the you, block it. Block it.
Block your
I
number.
Hope you do block my number.
Don, I couldn't agree more with Rex. People ring me up and say, hello, Sam, and I say, yes, g'day, mate, how are you? Don Scott gave me a number. He said, what do you want? He said, look, wonder if you could sign a bit of paper and post it back in an envelope to 42 Swanson Street, fucking Maroubra. I said, what did you say? To Margaret. Could you say all the best for...
Love the night. If it was Margaret, the night with you, sign it, Johnny.
So you want me to get a bit of paper, put it in an envelope, go down the post office, get a postage stamp, post it up to you with a return. Turn address on it, because Don, you do that, mate. You just do not think of who you're actually giving the number to. I hate to say this, you're a moron, Don. Seriously, I couldn't agree with you more, Rex. I've had more of those calls, and then I ring him up and I say, are you serious, Don? What are you doing that for? He said, well, what does it matter? He said, you wanted your number. And I said, well, Jesus.
And what right does Tim have to ask me, are you having a function for living Richmond Premiership players? Well, none of your bloody business. Who the
He only knew about it because Don said
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, and I agree
with
you.
Well, are you having a function? I thought it was a very good gesture by you.
Anyhow.
Answer the question.
You answer the question by me first. Do you consider yourself, when you have a shave, looking in the mirror that you are a moron?
No, I just look at the amazing picture on the other side. Image.
I tell you, this is the battle of the brains here. This is extraordinary. Not a working molecule between either of you. Nothing going on at all. It's like looking
and
into.
You obviously don't own a mirror.
So.
And people think you're doing all right. You're doing so bad. Can't you afford to buy a set of gloves with fingers in them?
I wish you'd learn to pronounce that word a little bit better. Can't you?
So
Don, Rex, I've got you in here primarily today.
Well, just to listen to you.
No, we've come to listen.
Now, I come up from Geelong yesterday and there's a men at work sign. And who are holding the two men at work signs?
Women.
and mankind. And you know Mail Street at Brighton?
Mm.
They're changing it to Person Street.
Yes.
You're not serious. You just taking it.
Is he serious? Don, you honestly think
I don't know whether he's serious or not.
Well, they're changing Mail Street to Person Street.
I understand that, you idiot.
No, you honestly think that's serious, do you? They're changing Mail Street to Person Street.
Well, he's not low. He's a straight face, so I thought he's serious.
That's like saying the manager of the store, the personager of the store. I mean, seriously. Don, please, you've got to...
I can't read him.
You got to... No, but you common sense would tell you that is just a tongue-in-cheek.
Theatre. Is that theatre?
That is theatre.
Can you just tell me when it's theatre when he
well,
talks?
Well, if you can't work it out, Don, that's
I'm struggling.
That's what bamboozles the riffraff. People like you, if you can't tell that that's theatre, that they're changing Mail Street to Person Street, you're not living in the real world, Don. Seriously. Now, Don, Rex, please. I want to know, how is your health, Don?
Rex.
Call me Greg.
You he just rang.
Did he? Will you give me his number?
What?
You've already
because
got
you know
it.
What?
Or did you block it?
No,
you've blocked it from years ago.
I've just got a couple of contacts and I've got it.
And you still
Rex, I speak to you quite often and you have you're having and John Locko's here, who is the man who broke the very great story about Novak Djokovic, who is going to be given a clearance to play in the French Open because suddenly people are realizing that the COVID hoax and charade that's gone on around the world, it's a pandemic and it's an epidemic and it will be handled, and to lock down the whole of the world to throw it into disarray has been pointed out by people like Novak Djokovic, and he'll become a hero and a star and a legend in his own life.
Being uneducated like I am, could you answer me one question? And somebody out there listening may actually find this interesting. Bird flu and SARS. We're going to wipe out the entire world. Where are they now?
And the Spanish flu back in the 1915, over 100 years ago.
Is this COVID sort of strains likely to end up, or is this a more serious? I don't understand. I'm triple vaccinated and they won't even let me into the seniors' citizens' hall at Parkdale.
You've got a reputation. It's not the fact that you're not immunised. It's your reputation. That's why they won't allow you in.
So what's a reputation? Is a mishmash of innuendo made up by people who have got nothing more than sit on their backside to make up. You know where I was the other night? In a Japanese restaurant at Sandringham. Abusing people, I got ordered out. And you know where I was? I was watching the second leg of the Melton Trots at home.
What?
And it was just made up. And my old man, I'm telling you now, if he knew I was in a Japanese restaurant, he would absolutely roll over in his urn. You know, my old man took 16 Japs with one grenade at Pearl Harbor in 1998.
Well, you're American. You're a love child.
In 1998,
hang on,
you idiot.
Your father's American, so he's come to America. Serious. You're a love child.
Well, I don't know, but my father didn't pull out when he came back from the war.
God, he's a very brave man. That's why he's on the front line.
Don, there's been six things that Rex has said that are either ridiculous, innuendo, or asides, or tongue-in-cheek shit, and you've believed every one of them. Do you think his old man took out 15 Japanese 16, at Pearl Harbor 16. In 1998 with a hand grenade? Did you listen to that, you fucking idiot? Oh, seriously. And he said his father should have pulled out. And he said, oh, he's a brave man. He wasn't saying that. He was saying he should have pulled out before he made his mother pregnant. You're a cockhead. Now, oh, jeez, oh, stone me. Fucking hell.
Are we on air?
What?
Are we on air?
Yeah, sort of. I think we are.
Are those things going up and down?
Yeah, the
Ring Newman. What a wonderful, wonderful example of a character.
No, Don, just seriously.
He's still breathing, is he?
Shut up, Rex. This is what I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with Don here who has not got one fucking thing. You have said.
He's just got the 1997.
The 1998. Now, Rex.
Look at Dom. Johnny, look at Dom. You're laughing. Get on your Dom. How are you?
He's a stone raving man. I've got to sit here and I think surely he's going to understand that that's a joke.
No, he says,
What did you say? You're not serious, are you? He went to Pearl Harbor. I said, Don, fucking ease up, son.
Now, there's a sponsor for you, the RSL.
Oh, Don.
No, sorry, not research. It's the ex-servicemen's league.
Oh, well, who
the ex. Hey, the ex-service persons league.
Shut up, Don. Oh, Donald, he'll believe that in a minute. A returned soldier. Oh, no, we can't call him soldier. A returned fighting corps people. Now, Don, you've got to actually know when something's tongue-in-cheek and something's theatre, as opposed to wandering around thinking every single thing someone says is actually factual and virtual. Now, Rex.
Yes.
I'm going to finish this off, just this segment, because then we're going to speak to a very important person, Ben Cook, about where we're headed with iCook Foods, because we're not letting that go. Rex, I don't know if you're familiar with iCook Foods, but you can be here while you are. How are you going with your biopsy? Are you okay physically? How are you mentally, and how are you travelling? And I see you're going to do the Johnny Van Wisser fight again, be the ring announcer.
Yeah, and the Sam Solomon fight with Adam White.
And if you say you're going to get beaten around the ring and Don thinks that that's not a joke, then I'll pack
Don,
it in.
Don, brother, when I'm at the fight next week, I'm introducing Sam Solomon and Johnny Van Wisser. Brother Nelson will be out on day leave from Bowen Prison. And they let him out to come to the fight because he and his mates in the prison love coming to the boxing and seeing grown men punch each other in the ring.
Straight over his head.
Yeah, no, Don said, really?
Straight over his head.
What, so Brother Nelson's a boxing fan, is he, Don said?
And you know who he's coming up with? His two mates. Yeah. There's Brother Nelson, Paul Nelson, and Half Nelson.
Yeah. Don, they're funny names. Jeez, who would give them those names?
Look at Don. He looks like Jaime Zibler from Schindler's List, Sam.
Stop the podcast.
Don, you have...
Why do I bloody...
You have dismantled the broadcasting equipment.
Well, just stop it.
Because you keep manhandling it. You've pulled it out of the table. I'm sorry, everyone. This is it now. I'm sorry. That's it.